degree of life in the church determines the degree of death in the nation. Because our churches, many of them, most of them, by far and away, most of them are dead tonight. They have been put to sleep by the world. Because of that, death and philosophies of death reign paramount in our nation. And if you go to college and you take a philosophy course, you will come out kidnapped and seduced and raped because you're giving yourself over to the useless musings of darkened hearts that do not know God and that do not know truth and that do not know morality. It's vain deceit, God said. Vain philosophies, illusions after the tradition of men. What's that mean? It means human thinking, which is inadequate. You give yourself over to these philosophies that you espouse, and the poverty-stricken opinions of a world full of fools. The world and the world's philosophy will give you nothing new, because all man can offer you will bring you regression. There's no reason in this country for us to have the corruption and the greed and the avarice and the hate and the murder and the immorality except for the fact that man has rejected God's revelation of truth through nature, according to Romans 1. If there was no Bible, no preacher, no evangelistic television, still, men in this country would know by the declaration of the stars that there is a God and that they are individually accountable to and responsible to Him. But man's rejected even the call of the stars to man. And not only have they rejected the stars and nature, but they've rejected the preachers. And they've rejected the Word of God that God gave us written out. Well, listen close. I don't care whether it's a nation or an individual, man's rejection of truth always leads to darkness. It led us into the dark ages before, and now it's doing it again. And the next step, you see, going away from God is a regression. It doesn't just happen. There's a move. And Satan's moving on your life is never stationary. And your life, I don't care whether you're saved or lost tonight, is never stationary. You're either going on with God or you're going back into sin. There's no neutrality as far as growth is concerned and considered. We find ourselves in a situation in this country where we're going further and further and further and further away from God. And the next step in your step away from God and man's step away from God is to rationalize our wrong decision. In fact, humanity's rationalization of why God is wrong and we are right is another reason why God has to judge us. In verse 22, it says, listen to this, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, man, you, nobody, a nation does not think right about anything when they reject truth. Why should he think right about the way he thinks when he doesn't think right about anything else in relation to God and the truth and light? And whenever you reject reason, biblical moral reason, and you reject biblical absolutes, you lose the power of discrimination to know the difference between right and wrong. And you can see manifestations of this when you turn on your television. Boy, I watch debate shows on television where people discuss moral issues and all. Man, I hear the world talking about what's right and what's wrong. I mean, they come up with some of the most insane things. And I wonder, in my frustration, where in the world did they get that? But you must remember that one who rejects truth thinks illogically. They can't be logical. They have abandoned life. So everything comes out wrong. They have no power to perceive truth or error. Consequently, they don't even think right about God. And in verse 28, you want to see what happens? A picture of our nation, the perversion, the pornography, the murder, the crime, the homosexuality, which is a hallmark of rebellion of any society that's turned its back on God. And you know what we do in the midst of it? We coast. The church has succumbed. Acquiesce. curtsied and said, if that's what you want to do, fine, go your way. We're going to church and then we're going home and watch Love Boat. God put us in the middle of it to counter the system. That's what we're here for. A few years ago, Christians in this country and Christian educators thought that they had to accept evolution because they were intimidated by the philosophies and the philosophers who taught it. So our great minds who had become twisted by the liberal interpretation of truth, they looked for a place to fit this doctrine of evolution in, and they decided to stick evolution in right after creation. So they came up with a little thing called theistic evolution or progressive creation to make Christianity more palatable to the world of pseudo-intellectuals. And we did so to accommodate a bunch of fools. And the same thing with liberal theology. Schools and Christian colleges and seminaries have ruined entire denominations because we've allowed liberalism in our Christian schools. And it's been allowed in by administrators and professors and teachers and boards of trustees because we were intimidated by supposed intellectuals that are nothing but fools. They live in the ultimate insanity. We think world psychology, they've got the answer, but they don't. And I turn on the night news and I watch the network's portrayal of what they call truth, which is leftist and distorted and twisted. Men think they're so smart, but they're fools. It would be amusing if it weren't so sad when you sit down with some people and you start talking to them about Jesus and they begin to ask you all these deep intellectual questions that they think are so deep and so intellectual. I was watching Ted Koppel interview Jerry Falwell the other night, and Jerry Falwell was talking on one station and they had another guy there, a liberal astronomer or scientist or something, and Koppel would ask the questions and the scientist would come up with some kind of harebrained, nit-witted answer. And Jerry Falwell would just give a very simplistic biblical answer. And it would just throw the whole show in a tizzy because everybody just, you know, looked bananas. They had no concept of reality. And they say, well, that's just too simplistic. So let's pray like we're intelligent. Men think they're so smart. And the tragedy is they reject the truth and they'll receive ignoramus ideas and then they'll call themselves wise for doing so. What an incredible deception! Now, they're wise, all right. But they're wise in their own sphere. God says they are wise in their own conceits. They just think they're smart. They just think they're wise. You see, the Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the awesome respect or the fear of God. But they reject God. That old Saint Martin Lloyd-Jones, he's with the Lord now, said, quote, the whole drift toward modernism that has blinded the Church of God and nearly destroyed its living gospel may be traced to the hour when man began to turn from revelation to philosophy, unquote. In other words, when man stopped listening to God and started listening to man. So Christian institutions began to be intimidated by the academic community and started putting folks in the educational processes that were educated in the philosophies, and those people have gone into our schools that most of our dollars have supported with all these years as Christians, and they've gone in and undermined truth to the point that many of our students from our fundamental churches can go to some of these schools believing in the Bible, but they go into the classes and are insulted and made to look like fools for believing the Bible to the point that those students are either discouraged and drop out of our church schools or go on and graduate and absorb the philosophy of the professors who don't believe the Bible, and then they graduate and go into one of our great churches and take over the pulpits and poison it with their philosophy. And that has stagnated every major denomination in America. Right. Including my own. And brought most churches to their knees before the world and Satan. In 1 Corinthians, I'll show you something. Philosophy is always set against the gospel. In verse 17, Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. And verse 18 says, for the preaching, listen to this, those of you who are mocking truth, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. While a man says, our foolishness is wisdom, he's saying true wisdom is foolish. That's where people are in this country. Verse 19 says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of this age? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Christian, you don't have to be intimidated. All the philosophy in the world can help no one. All the philosophy in the world can save no one. There is no power there. And verse 21 says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. By wisdom, they didn't know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In other words, what man's wisdom could not do, God's foolishness did. And verse 25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. The blunt, clear message delivered by uneducated Christians with transformed lives infinitely exceeds the tangled confusion of humanist philosophies and philosophers who are fools. Fools. Outright fools. And the biggest fool of all is that one who rejects light and goes into the darkness and then rationalizes that the darkness is really light. And the light is really darkness. Boy, he thinks he's got a real super mind. But God says he is an absolute moron. So, God's given truth. God's given revelation. But our country as a whole, not everyone, but there's a few that love Jesus in America. George Gallup said 70,000 born again, or 70 million born again. No way. Afraid not. He said, well, you're not to be the judge. That's not in the Bible either. That's another humanist liberal ploy for us not to be discerning, see. God says, Jesus himself said, you'll know them by the fruit of their lives. You better judge. Man's rejected and refused the truth. And he affirms, now here's the absolute insanity of where we are in this country. We are affirming that our era, and in our era, we have invented truth. And we have to convince ourselves that we're right. But it's insanity, it's empty deceit. And the last step, now get this, the last step down in man's decline is religion. Back over there in Romans. Chapter 1, it says in verse, here's what happened, verse 23. They rejected the truth. Then they said, we're smart. Boy, aren't we smart. Boy, we're quick. We're really sharp. And in verse 23, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In other words, he makes an idol out of man and beast and birds and insects and snakes and bugs and says, man, I'm smart. Let me tell you something. Religion is not the highest point in man's ascent. Religion is the absolute pit. It is the lowest level. In the midst of the blackness, man cannot deal with the fact that he is wrong. So he begins to rationalize how right he is. But still, you see, here's the problem that he confronts. Still, in his heart, there is an empty feeling because something inside every single one of us demands a God. Because of the demand, we just make up a God. Isn't that incredible? And man will eliminate the true and living God and create one that does not exist and then say, I'm smart. Now what have you done with your God? Have you submitted and repented and sold out to Jesus Christ who died for your sins? And wants to fill your life? Or have you just made a God of your imagination? Man told me the other day, well, I believe in God, as on a plane witnessing to him. He said, but I worship God my own way. I was listening to one of the vice president candidates for public office here in this country the other day saying, well, he worships God his way, but I worship God my way, as if there's several different gods. No. You either come Jesus' way, or you don't come at all. You can go the Republican way. You can go the Democratic way. You can go your way. But if you don't know life, you better go God's way. And you must submit your life and repent. And if you don't do that, the only alternative is to make your own God. Now you've got your little dummy God. We've got a whole nation that has. And Elisha stood on Mount Carmel and he called the whole nation of Israel together. And they came by the thousands. And those 400 false prophets of Baal stood around and Elisha preached God's message to those people. And he said, now is the time to make your choice. If God is God, then you better serve him. And if Baal is God, then worship and serve him. But you must make a choice. You must make a decision. And the time has come in this country when we better decide who we're going to serve. If God is money, then we'll serve the God of money. If sex is God, we'll serve sex. If luxury and leisure is God, we'll serve it. If pleasure is God, let's serve pleasure. If the NFL is God, let's serve football and sports. But you must choose. And you better get it straight. Jesus is not going to be your number two God. It's all or nothing. It's either your dummy God or the true and the living God. And listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you've got. Saw a special last night, night before last, on the richest man in America. The richest man in America will go to hell if he doesn't know Jesus. Don't care how much money you've got. Don't care how well known you are. Without a commitment to Jesus Christ, you are deceived and blind and dead and empty and in absolute darkness. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can set you free. You have no other hope. There is no other hope. There is no other way. Period. On a talk show not long ago, a guy looked at me and said, you believe to tell me, and it was a secular talk show, he said, you really believe that you can say that Jesus is the only way, and if a person does not give their life to Christ and repent of sins and come to the cross and let Christ come into their life, that they're going to go to hell? I said, that's right. He said, well, most of the people in the world are like that. He said, only a slight few are Christian. I said, that's just exactly what Jesus said. He said, few there be that find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to death and destruction. And most, many there be, said Jesus, that are on that road. But Jesus on a cross took on your sins. He died on the cross as a payment for your sins. He didn't get on the cross to give us a pretty little crucifix, a new necklace, some nice plastic ornament for our dashboard. Jesus died for your sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So he took on your death. That's what he did on the cross. He was dying your death. And if you're willing to come and say, God, I'm tired of just being religious. I'm tired of just knowing all about you but not knowing you in my heart. And do what I did 13 years ago and get on your knees and say, God, I know I'm a sinner and all the going to church and all the saying prayers and all the rosaries and all the baptisms in the world aren't going to help me. See, when you leave here tonight, I don't care if you came from deepest, darkest Africa and you've been worshiping every Sunday or every day at the foot of a totem pole, you're going to know who Jesus is and your responsibility to him when you leave this place. God's going to give you that knowledge. I came into the knowledge of the Holy God. He came into my life. He changed my life when I submitted to him. But it says these people wouldn't. Listen to what it says. It says they wouldn't glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful. What's wrong with Americans? Not thankful. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Russian exile, won the Nobel Prize, speaking at Harvard, said, you've been spoiled, America, by a materialistic society. You've lost the will to die for anything worthwhile. You know what's wrong with America? They don't want to die. I just finished reading a book. Gave it to Suzanne Reed. Told her it's a great book. She read it on the plane the other day coming home, or today and yesterday. She said, man, it's a great book. It's called What Price Freedom. You know what made America great? People were willing to die what they believed. You know why Reverend Moon has spread his gospel of heresy around the world? Because his converts are willing to die for it. You know why communism has taken over the world? Two-thirds of the world in the dominant fist of communism tonight? Because those people are willing to die for it. They counted not their lives dear unto themselves. The Revelation says of those who came out of the great tribulation, and the martyrs of old, they didn't care. They knew Jesus, and they knew that God's will would be done in their life regardless of how they stood or where they stood, if they simply stood on the principles of the Word of God. But we're not thankful. Many of you aren't thankful. You aren't thankful for a church to go and worship in. You aren't thankful for a ministry to be a part of. You aren't thankful for gospel television and radio that is the only hope of this nation if the gospel is going to get out to the masses, the secular masses. Yes, the church is supposed to preach to those that come to it, and yes, the church is supposed to go. But you see, the problem is the church isn't going. We're sitting in our little church comfortable buildings, and we're saying, everybody, come on, join our baseball team, get in this church, come on, we're having a great, time, come on down here. Got a golf tournament going on. You say, you against the church? No, I'm for the church. I'm against the pseudo-church. And I'm against the pseudo-Christian activity going on in the church. The stuff that we've replaced to have fun in the church because we've lost the joy of being filled with and captured by the personality of Jesus. Talking to a guy who didn't want his people that worked on his bus ministry coming out here not too long ago. He said, my bus kids come out there and they're just too tired to go to church. And I said, hogwash. Your problem in your time, best bus worker you got, the ones who come out here on Friday and Saturday night, they're filled with Jesus. They want to walk with God. They want to go with the things of God. They're the soul winners. They got the biggest bus ride. Your problem is you're just jealous. So petty. Silly. Someday we're going to grow up and understand that we're in this thing together and begin to thank God for the opportunity He's given us to reach out together. Look what it says. They weren't thankful, but they became vain. That means empty in their imaginations and their foolish hearts were darkened. The psalm says what? The fool has said in his heart, not with his lips. You see, Madeline Murray O'Hara, she's a very vocal fool. She gets up, she says, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. She broadcasts it by says, boy, she's a fool. Well, she is a fool. God said she was. I didn't say it. It says right there. The Bible says, call no man a fool. I didn't. God said it. Right there. She is a fool. But that's not the only fool around. It says they said it in their heart, there is no God. Their foolish hearts were darkened. And the Bible says in Psalms, the fool has said, not with his lips, but in his heart, there is no God. And Jesus looked at a bunch of church people one day, and he said, you worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from. Amen.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And it goes on, talks about homosexuality. I know the queers tell us it doesn't, but it does. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And that's what it's talking about, homosexuality, friend. I don't care how you read it, what interpretation they give you. The Bible says it's wrong. And here it says they turned away from God so far that they even lost natural desires. And we have in this country, and we don't want to talk about, you know, even when this Vanessa Miss America thing came out with the nudity, the whole thing was not that she was just nude, but that they were absolute portrayals, and not just portrayals, but lesbian shots of her with another woman. But the media never told us that. You say, well, how do you know? Did you go buy one? No, but I did read and saw enough on the newscast of what was revealed to know exactly what it was. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. He said, well, that's not me, man. I ain't in that bunch. Look again, verse 32. Some of you in that bunch. Says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Listen, he said, not only is there a group, and if you'll read those few verses before that, you'll find a picture of America. But if you'll read that last verse, you will discover there are two groups of people, one of which who did those things, and the other of which had pleasure in those that did them. See, some of you won't go out and get involved in an affair with your neighbor's wife, but you'll sure turn on and watch it on Dallas. And you'll go to the R-rated movies and you're on PG-rated movies and you'll watch the perversion. You don't do those things, but you enjoy watching those who do. Right. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, not just the ungodliness of the nation of Israel, when they turned from the God of their fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and began to worship the idols in the high places in the mountains. As they went up to those places and they built their idols and began to bend their knees and worship to Baal and Balak and all the other gods and goddesses of their day. And those prophets came declaring the truth of God that the people must repent or they would sure incur the wrath of a holy God. And at times those people listened and at times they did not listen. And the whole history of the nation of Israel is a history of the people coming time and again to the precipice of judgment. And then seeing the impending judgment of God about to fall would generally repent. And God would bless again. And prosperity would come to the land and luxury would be abounding. And the people would get lax and lazy in their pursuit of holiness. And they would go back again into their lust. And into their rebellion, and into the worship of these other gods. And so God sent men like Elijah who called the whole nation together. And he said, you've got one last chance to repent. You've got one last chance. You've got one last chance to turn. And he faced off those false prophets of Jezebel that day. And he called down fire from heaven. And that whole nation turned to God and they repented of their sins and they killed those 400 false prophets and 400 and some odd understudies of those false prophets, and God sent a revival in the land. Jonah went into Nineveh and he preached that if you don't repent, God's wrath is going to fall on the land. And the people repented. And God sent a revival to a whole city of some say near 500,000 people got right with God. And God spared the city of Nineveh and all the surrounding area. God sent emissaries into Sodom and into Gomorrah. And by the same token, those people had a chance to repent of their sins. But in the other side of the coin, they did not repent. And God sent his wrath falling swift and sure, and the whole city and cities were destroyed. In a couple of months, we will walk again on the beaches of around the Sea of Galilee, and we will go into, God willing, a little city called Capernaum that Jesus stood in one day, and he said, woe be to you. And we'll look upon the hillside and see the charred remains of the cities of Bethesda, where Jesus said, woe be unto you. Because if the works that were done in you had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. But a worse thing is going to come upon you. And today as you go to that place, all you see are ruins that have been possibly, probably rebuilt just within the last few hundred years by archaeologists and historians. Up until that time, all you would see, and it's still there today, are the charred lava rock remains of molten cities that experienced the wrath of God. I remember the first time I went over there, we took a geologist with us. We walked through that old ruins of those cities on the eastern edge and the northeastern edge of the Sea of Galilee. We looked at those rocks and I kicked one of them and I said, man, there must have been a lot of volcanic activity around here. He said, that's the strange thing about this area. He said, I did a thesis on this area. He said, there's never been any volcanic activity around here, and yet all these molten rocks of lava are all over the area topographically. They're laying everywhere. And I believe with all my heart that those are the charred remains of the fire of God that he sent on that city, just like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah.